Hi, and welcome to Gamercast, episode 111, 111.
Yes, you are. I'm Paul, and we are the hosts of Gamercast, a weekly gaming podcast. Slash webcast, because podcast infers a device which we do not support. This is episode 111 for the 30th of March 2008. And with us this week, we have a special guest who goes by the name of
Dragonstar.
And Dragonstar. Jam Donut. And Madison.
I wondered who Madison was when I was looking on the guild list. I thought, right, someone's taken the dog's name.
They managed to
teach the dog how to play WoW.
Yeah, the dog plays WoW.
Yeah, he named his character after the dog. That's what's going on.
That's actually really cool.
Well, that's what they did with Indiana Jones. Indiana Jones is named after George Lucas's dog.
George Lucas is an idiot. I don't think we have any letters this week. I wonder why, considering last week's episode was actually really good.
Yeah, whatever.
Wasn't it quite short last week?
Yeah,
last week was the short episode, wasn't it?
Because
Adam had to go and cry or something.
I had to go get pizza that had been ordered, and everyone else was playing WoW when I got here, so I had to wait for everyone to finish playing WoW.
Yes,
we were finishing the Underbog.
The Underbog.
Yes, the Underbog.
They were cleaning the bottom of the toilet.
Is it Rainbow Six Vegas 2 or Rainbow Six Las Vegas 2?
I think it's Vegas 2.
Vegas 2. That's what
it
was.
Vegas 2.
Yeah, cool. Because Adam will be reviewing that later on in the program.
Oh, yeah.
Notice I say program now because we're really posh.
Posh. Oh, more posh.
Oh, I was going to talk about something and I forgot what it was. I don't know, it was a rant I wanted to quickly make about something. What was it?
Rant.
Well, this is why I should put it in the show notes.
Yeah.
Anyway, Adam's got a couple of news items.
I need to sneeze.
Bless you.
Okay, that was very enlightening. Like I said, Adam's got a couple of news items.
And now I've finished sneezing. Right, you're going to bring up the net so I can read off
them. Oh, shit, I'm close to the links.
It doesn't save the links.
No, I don't like saving my links, otherwise I'll just end up with about 100,000 links open.
And that's why I closed mine. Mine doesn't have a homepage, it just sits on the last link it was on. No, that wasn't it. Anyway, I'll just go off it from memory.
It was a virtual console!
Yeah, an article written by some guy.
Wait, I saw it on GameSpot, I've got the feed here.
Yeah, he's worked on Xbox Europe. And has gone over to, can't remember, Yo-Yo Games.
Yo-Yo, what's up, bro?
I think it's Yo-Yo Games. Was saying that there's, through how difficult it is for releasing hardware, that they're saying that there isn't a large amount of difference apart from power between a set-top box system and an Xbox anyway.
Not really. You know, no set-top box I know of is anywhere near.
I said apart from the power.
Oh. Okay.
And they're saying that they wouldn't be surprised in the next 5 to 10 years that consoles will finally, apart from handheld devices, will be non-existent. And that it will just be kind of like DVDs out there. Loads of companies make DVD players to play DVDs. It'll just be the softwares are out there and people will make these boxes that you hook up to your TV and shove in a controller, and people will just make software and it'll play on. And everything will be virtualized, so you'll have the virtual software for PlayStation and whatever.
The virtual PlayStation?
Everybody! Everybody, stop me, Big Bird!
This is what we play when we go into battle in World of Warcraft.
Yes.
Well, Elmo wrote his own song.
Really? What's it called?
Elmo
we charge onto the Horde armies and play this fearful song.
Well, does Fluffy and Big Bird want to hear it?
Just to go off my unrelated topic.
Okay. You actually play this out through your headsets?
Yes.
To everyone else.
We are mighty warriors.
This is the song, la 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 la, Elmo's song.
It's awesome charging down Alterin Valley with this playing.
We asked if anyone else listened to it as they tried.
Nobody replied. This one's even better because it has knives.
It has knives.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm freaking out already.
Oh no, it's not loading because YouTube is a really crappy, slow video, crappy site thing.
Lag.
It isn't lag, dude. It's YouTube being gay.
Okay. But yeah, Virtual Console, they were saying that probably games consoles will eventually fade out in the future.
Well, I've been saying that for years.
Yeah. No.
What's the point in having all these different hardware boxes when they can all do basically the same fucking thing?
Yeah. And the idea that everything will be virtualized, as in a virtual system on a box. And there's Red Elmo. Elmo knows where you live and he's got a knife. It's a bit of a broken knife. It's kind of like one of those things you make in prison for stabbing someone in the queue. But these are my potatoes. In the ribs. Elmo.
One of these noobs who say they love this song. What a bunch of noobs. Go away.
Yeah, I'm scared.
Yeah, that's what we play going into battle in the Altric Valley.
Oh.
That is what you will be expected to play as well when you are...
That or the Monster Mash.
Yeah, it's either that or the Monster Mash. No, the Monster Mash is best when we're raiding the undead territory.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, don't mess with our guild, dude. We'd kill you. Yeah, so virtual consoles. Duh. Xbox 360 and PS3 are almost the same flipping hardware. It's just software which is distinguishing them.
So the idea of having some sort of box you shove into your TV that basically got...
Screwed out, have it built into the fucking TV.
That you plug in, you know, everything's in there, hardware, lock it in, people write software, run a virtual system. No more having to,
So what do you think about that, dude?
Well...
You have a game box.
Yeah, what?
It's running Microsoft software and that's all you need to know.
I'll never work.
What do you mean it'll never work?
It'll never work because there's always going to be makes that are going to want to make their own consoles, and then there's always going to be software people who are always going to want to work for certain hardware people.
Well, that's the idea, is that kind
that's
of like...
That's the idea. The other companies go out of business.
If they wouldn't.
What they're saying
is that sounds like a challenge.
Because there's
do not underestimate Microsoft version 3 products. It decimates
the idea is you could own... a PlayStation and an Xbox, but you'd only need one console. So you would have you know, like the Nintendo Wii it basically is running.
We've got a Wii.
A virtual, it's running a virtual NES, a virtual SNES, a virtual N64, a virtual Mega Drive, all running on there.
Yeah, but I mean that's not really comparable because the performance difference is.
Yeah, but the idea of having this hardware box where you would run the virtual console on there. So that you could have
Elmo thumb. Right,
because I could just imagine you go out and buy yourself one of these boxes and you go,
you
right,
buy an Elmo branded game machine.
You spend £200 and you come with this nice Sony box and you shove it in, you install it, and you're like, yay, and that's cool. And you go, you could probably take it off and put on the Xbox version and then you just play the games. Or it might get to the point where no one, it will just be the standard, Microsoft will write this software, shove it on there. And people will make their own games for one format. If it got to the point where it was just one format and it was a standard box, and then every so often it got upgraded, and it'd be like a PC but plugged into your TV.
I do plug my PC into the TV sometimes.
Tara plugs hers in. She's nicked my bloody Dell cable from my monitor. The analog one.
Oh. I've got my VGA cable downstairs plugged into the TV right now. So that's where I leave it.
But, yeah, interesting article is about how the future of gaming may go with the disappear of hardware.
Yeah, he states between a sort of 5 and 10 year time frame. Which I don't think is too unrealistic.
Yeah, considering the fact of if you look at the Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3, the fact that they're the first major console that is like a PC with the fact that things can be patched. Everything is upgradable. The game is not stopped at the gold disc. Some things can be fixed to a point.
Can I have a disc of gold, please?
Yeah, I wish I could have a disc of gold. A whole pack of them. Go buy myself a new bike. But yeah. That'd be quite interesting to see how it's going to change. I'm kind of curious the fact that we've got to the point of having the Wii, maybe the new Wii that they want to do because they were on about doing a high definition version. But the fact of like.
Yeah, they need to do a high definition version for one reason. The Wii looks fucking shit.
Yeah, it does on my TV. You've got your Wii, you've got your PlayStation 3, and you've got your Xbox 360. And it's like with what they've done now, and the fact that if you manage to get hold of Mark 1 Xbox 360.
I've got a Mark 1 Xbox 360.
Fresh out the box, and it's not been upgraded. Oh. And flashed well,
mine's
anywhere.
Been upgraded since.
And then you've got.
Connected to the inner tubes. And
the new one. The difference between the original Xbox 360 and the one now.
Is the one now has got cheaper components.
Where you wouldn't get that with any other console. So I'm kind of curious of what's going to happen with the next generation. How long the Xbox
the next what do you mean the next do you mean the next generation?
Yeah, the next generation of consoles. Right,
so you don't mean the next because we're in the current generation.
Yeah, current generation, the next one.
May I remind everybody, stop calling the PS3 and the Xbox 360 next gen consoles. They've been out for years.
The gen consoles.
The next person who does that
generation.
Is going to get slapped.
Ow.
Yeah, you will be saying it in a minute, boy.
It'd be interesting. Right, what's the Tyler Bryan?
Oh, Jesus.
Come on, have a rant. Have a rant.
Right.
Build it up. Hulk.
Right, now, let's go back a bit. Everybody knows I think BBFC ratings on games are a waste of time. Because the gaming industry at the moment self-regulates and self-analyzes their own content. To get the PEGI rating, which I think is sensible. I suppose the biggest problem with the BBFC is it's in the United Kingdom since the 1984 video blah 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 whatever it was act that our friends in the Conservative Party passed. It made it legal to sell products with the BBFC number age thing to people below that age.
Yes.
So basically, this is a form of censorship, which I'm opposed to.
Why?
Because you're censoring your game. The state is interfering in what some dude can do with their time. You know, he's not hurting anybody else by watching. You know, name a 12-year-old who hasn't watched Terminator or RoboCop. Every 12-year-old have seen those films, at least back when I was 12. I'm sure you lot. Will agree with me about that as well?
Well, yeah. Put it this way, when RoboCop came out in the cinema, my dad actually did look into how hard it would be to actually smuggle me into the cinema to go let me go see it. So he couldn't get me in, so I had to wait for it to actually come out on rental, and he rented it. Had it booked, got it from the local video store, me and him set up popcorn and everything because we were so wanting to see this film. Gave me nightmares for a week, but I got it out again,
man.
And I watched it again. I loved it. I had the toys and everything.
You know, but I come across so many people when I'm working who, you know, they see their kids picking up a game, 18, blah, 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 and they say, oh no, because it's a game, it must be really terrible and so much worse than all the films they see. Because the media deliberately creates this impression that games are evil for antisocial people who go out and stab people. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't know anybody who stabbed anyone, and everybody I know plays games. So I think this thing is a little bit misleading. And the BBFC doesn't need to get involved, especially because the sheer volume of content generated by the gaming industry is so much greater than that of the film industry. You know, the BBFC rating dude just doesn't sit for a 2-hour film and watch it. What if you've got a game like World of Warcraft? That one dude will be playing that game for years even a game like Oblivion, that guy would be playing it for hundreds of hours.
Mm.
It's so ridiculous.
He would need...
that's
the thing. It might
the thing
to
is, the,
would...
the BBFC is paid for out of our money.
Yeah.
You know, it's a state funded organization to rate all this stuff. And it's, you know, the workload to rate every game more than a 12 PEGI rating, which this stupid Tanya
those people
Byron
most likely wouldn't
recommends.
Be game players, so they may end up turning around and saying, right, to get your rating, you've got to provide us with a video content of the content of your game, so we can sit there and watch every aspect
well,
of the game.
Realistically, what they'd have to do is say to the developer, look, point out the most extreme scenes you've got in this game so we can review it based on that.
Mm.
Which, if you're going to do that, why not just use fucking PEGI, where the developers rate it themselves? They have a checklist. Do you have this in it? Do you have that? And that checklist forms a rating in the end.
Mm.
You know, it's something the developers can do at virtually no cost to themselves, because it literally only takes, you know, the developers know the game anyway, so we just have to go through a checklist, a few pages.
See,
and the thing is, what this new rating would do is it would put the BBFC rating on the front and put the PEGI rating on the back. So you're going to end up with two ratings for lots of games. At the moment, the BBFC only rates the occasional game.
Mm.
I'm not sure if there's a criteria on what sort of games they have to do.
In the future, you might see it to the point where, you know, like now you can have an Xbox 360 and your parents, if you're a kid, your parents can actually set up the parent control system. So
this is what I'm getting at.
The dad can play his copy of GTA 4.
The parents know what is suitable for their kids more than
the
BBFC.
He doesn't want his kid putting
it. No offence, our lord at the BBC.
His kid's quite capable of powering up the 360 and playing any game they want, and they put in dad's copy of Grand Theft Auto 4, it won't work for them unless they've got the password.
That's the thing. Nowadays, consoles have built-in parental controls, so, you know, a kid can get an 18 game loads away, so he can say to some dude on the street, hey, can you buy me this game because they won't sell it to me?
Mm.
And he can go home and play it. Or you can put the protection at the end and have the parental controls on the unit itself, which is the way to do things. Don't you agree, Chris?
You mean having a parental control on the actual software?
The Xbox 360 already has that. Windows Vista already has that.
You mean when you put the software in the console, it'll probe you to enter a password?
It will say, basically, I'll show you how it works. I'll show you what the, might have to turn it on though.
Basically, you could set it up so that all the Xbox 360 games have a rating built into it for the parent control software, and if you activate it, you can set what level you want. So if you put in an 18 game, you actually need the password to get it to activate, otherwise it won't play.
Yeah.
A bit like what you can have on Sky, where you can password it so certain things, channels won't be viewable unless you've got the password to it. But what I was saying is, it might be interesting, and maybe in the future it'll get to the point where between a 12 and a 14 year old can buy any 18 game, but all of those sections that they should not be seeing, as soon as they play it without the password, those parts of the games are replaced with a lower rated version.
Bunny cutscene.
So it's something edited out, so they can actually play the game and enjoy it, but anything that they really shouldn't be seeing unless they were 18 is removed. Maybe a
but
graphical
that wouldn't work. There would be games that would be
Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah,
the only thing you can
Grand
do is it turns it into a driving game.
There would be some elements that you couldn't remove, but if there was something that is what's forcing it to be not just you know, it's a little
the
bit
thing
too
is,
much.
There's no reason for the state to really bother interfering. It's such a petty matter, and it's really down to parents themselves, because, you know, a parent will know if their kid's going to have nightmares watching such and such, or a kid will know if they're, you know, if their kid's going to go schizo because he watches.
Yeah, but the only reason they do that is because there are parents that don't care.
Well,
there are parents that are nervous.
Who blame the flipping parents? Stop.
Yeah.
But,
you know,
then
you've
got, but then that's
else.
A whole different topic. It's nothing to do with games or films or anything. It's just parenting.
But then you've also got the other side of the coin with the fact that some parents are ignorant to video games because they don't play them themselves.
Read them.
That's right.
They
manual.
They don't understand them, and they're scared by video games, so they have no concept of how to run one.
Scared.
Where
if I saw
if
a video game running towards me, I'll tell you, I'd be shit scared. Oh my god, this is a game again!
When I have kids, and they go, oh, daddy, can I have
daddy,
that?
Can I play Grand Theft Auto 5?
I am more
yes.
suitable parent to say what my kids can play and can't play without using the whole what I want my kids to look at. But I can look at a video game and understand the content, because most likely I want to play it. And for
most likely, yeah, you want to play Viva Pinata.
Viva Pinata.
But yeah, it's,
I think I've broken my computer.
Semantics of the whole concept's a bit weird, but yeah, I would agree with Chris on that. It is down to the parents, and sometimes it's,
hey, you're agreeing with me, thank you very much.
No, me. Yeah.
Well, both of you, it's parents down there, and
it's all down to parenting.
In the US, when they tried to introduce legislation like this, it was booed out of the, you know, thing, because they've got rules about it's interfering, it's restricting one's freedom.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing. You know, let the people decide this. It doesn't have to be delegated up to the state to decide it. The people can decide it on an individual by individual basis. Completely unnecessary, completely waste of money. Fat right legislation needs to be reversed.
Yeah, if they have it so that, like, the PEGI is good enough, if it's warning...
PEGI works fine. It should be the default thing, because I think PEGI is a really fantastic rating system.
If they want to make it a little bit more hardcore, they should have it so that...
Hardcore?
The parents are aware of the PEGI a lot more and understand it, but it is
They do everything. They've got websites, they've got signs around the flipping store, blah, blah, blah. This is what all the signs mean, you know. What more can you do?
Mm.
If people are so stupid... You know what they're going to do? Run advertisements? Yeah, let's pay for the $6 billion advertising campaign so we can show parents what our ratings are about.
Well, maybe they should have it so that if you advertise your game at the end, you must show the PEGI and say that this game.
They do anyway, didn't they?
Yeah.
I know they'd have some. This game contains something or other. But
this game contains scenes of extreme violence, and my computer is really blown up.
This game is not
good.
This
serves me right to turn my parental controls on. Especially if putting it on my ASP.NET machine account, which shouldn't support parental controls.
Yeah.
Hopefully GamerCast will continue.
Yeah, because I'm not doing it again.
Yeah, it's cool, man.
We've had one episode like that. It was so bad because we were... Everything we were telling... It was a really good episode, and everything we were saying was... really good, but we were saying it was such a kind of like hatred, and both me, you could probably tell it in me and Paul's voice that we were really pissed off, because we both knew we were repeating everything we said and we weren't getting it as good as we got it before. But it was something that happened. It was when you were on the original beta for Vista and he just crashed everything and he had something else.
Can I just say that's not entirely accurate. Despite how your Apple fanboy brain remembers it, the software we were using then, whatever software it was, that stopped recording.
Yeah, that was it. But yeah, it was. Paul was not happy. We had to start it from all over again, and it was a really good episode.
That damn computer off.
I have to look at my notes.
Right.
Oh, here we go. It's finally loaded up.
Just stop it now. We'll finish this. We finish that section. Don't touch anything.
No way, man.
You're gonna kill the computer.
Just gonna do another
load
now.
You can't even see the show notes now. There we go.
You can like move stuff out of the way.
Right. Do you want me to do my review on Rainbow?
Yeah, let's do your review on Rainbow Six Vegas 2, a game where apparently you are a type of warrior, I believe.
Nope, you are a member of Rainbow, a anti-terrorist.
You are a member of Rainbow.
Is that a WoW guild?
There's a WoW guild called Rainbow.
Very cool.
Rainbow's full friends. We're friends and we like Tom. No. I can view my activity report for my parental controls.
Yeah.
It's been doing. It's been generating 3 years worth of like parental control records now. You have surfed on these websites. You have played these games. You have been on the computer these hours. You have just violated all of your blah blah blah. Nerds.
He'll never get it off.
Here we go. So Vista, for example, although this shows the ELPSA ratings, because I told it to show him that, because I didn't want the BBFC ratings on my fucking Games Explorer window. You can just, you know, say what user accounts can play. And then you can say if it's got dogs and tabacky references, you can do that. Or if it's got comic naughtiness, you can click that. Or if it's got cartoon bloodshed, you can click on that.
Why did you actually read out what it actually says?
Read what out? You want me to read them all out?
Sexual themes. Violence.
Sexual themes.
Use
with
of tobacco.
Inanimate objects.
Drugs and tobacco. That's repeated twice. The use of drugs and tobacco. No, the use of drugs and alcohol, or the use of drugs and tobacco.
Yeah, so that's that.
So you're either using. So you have to like mix your drugs with alcohol or with tobacco.
And when
you
can't
do both. You can't take drugs and tobacco and alcohol. That's just too much. Oh my god, you can't do that in a video game. Yeah, just
that gives it a R rating in the United States.
What if someone
mixing lots of naughty things together? Put prostitute in this barrel, mix that up with some alcohol.
Bit of tobacco. Right, in this game, everybody is chain smoking. And the only way to survive is to continue to take drugs to revive yourself. And at the end of every level, there is an orgy.
Yeah, if you get cold turkey, you die.
Oh, we're already making a new game.
Right, Rainbow Six Vegas 2.
Rainbow Six Vegas 2.
What's the background story behind it?
There is a terrorist attack in Las Vegas.
Who would want to attack Las Flippin' Vegas?
Biggest
crap hole in the US.
Yeah, probably the reason why it was picked. Some of the terrorist attacks happen in Las Vegas and at a high school in Las Vegas. It is not a sequel to Rainbow Six Vegas. You're actually playing the Bravo team, so what you are doing, it is in real time with the original game. So you do actually bump into and get radio communication with the team that you played in the previous game. So it's not happening afterwards, it's basically the same terrorist attack, but because it was actually happening over the whole of Vegas Strip, you're dealing with another part of the terrorist attack.
Can I just say, to put this on official record, these storylines are so boring. I mean, how the hell is a government-funded organization, funded with hundreds if not billions of dollars, have issues dealing with a couple of smelly terrorists out of a cave somewhere with a couple of rusty AK-47s? Can they not have a fair fight? Let's get two equal sides going on here. Let's get the USSR versus United States and have a battle worthy of song.
Well, you just say the USSR doesn't exist anymore.
It does in World in Conflict and Red Alert 3.
And in his head.
Yeah, but that's about it.
This is the USSR government in exile in this room, okay?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
We're going to get hunted down now.
Yeah.
The CIA on us.
Oh no, it's the CIA.
It's
like they could take on me. They can't take on a dirty, smelly terrorist out of a cave. They're able to take on me with my
the good thing
USB
about it
key.
The terrorists are attacking. It's not smelly Arabs this time.
No, wait, I know, it's Latin Americans. They need to pick on the fucking Venezuelans, don't they? I fucking knew it.
But a lot of the actual grunts are actual, special forces Marines. Not Marines.
Oh, mercenaries. The United States knows a lot about mercenaries and how they constantly send in mercenary flipping armies into all of Latin America. Take the Bay of Pigs invasion of Cuba. Let's attack Cuba. We pay these retards to do it. And then they are slaughtered by the mighty Cuban people.
Well, anyway, so you're actually going up against...
up against the mercenaries, which 10 years ago the Americans were funding to fight their dirty wars, and now they're going to slap the Americans around. Yeah, snap. You didn't pay us enough money. Give us some more money. Slap. Or else we're going to blow up your casino. Oh, no. What a disaster for humanity.
It's actually...
they blow up a huge money-making scheme ripping off the people.
The actual quite cool thing is...
I think I support these terrorists.
One of the guys that they kidnapped that's held in the casino, the whole thing has been gutted out the casino, and there's actually a games conference event in there, so there's loads of game consoles everywhere.
Is John Carmack in there? Is all that up there?
But it's like as if they're trying to build it, so everything's still in boxes and things are trying to be hung up for this game conference thing that's there. Because you actually go in there and there's like a
little... You actually go in there
there's
and mercenaries
talking about video games, and they're having this argument where one of them's like, yeah, I like video games. They're like, no, it's crap, it's for kids. And they're actually having this argument, and then I drop down on a rope upside down and it's like... headshots.
Yeah, then the rope breaks. You fall to the floor, crack your back, moving around, and then they kill you.
That's happened. I have, But the rope never breaks.
No.
It's more.
Are you able to play on the fruit machines if you get bored and you fancy just like playing in casinos?
No, but you can shoot them and they explode and shoot loads of coins out. So at least you've got.
No wonder we've got nut jobs like Tanya Byron recommending all this stupid review crap when you're going around shooting fruit machines. what a travesty of.
Yeah.
That is a disgrace, Adam. Shoot all these terrorists, but don't go fucking near that fruit machine. Don't steal the money out of it.
One thing that I do like, which is the same...
That's wrong. That money isn't yours. Kill all these people in the casino. We don't care. Just don't take that money. That belongs to the casino owners.
Oh, it lays on the floor.
You do can. That.
Control system for it is pretty much the same as...
any other game. You have this move.
Vegas 1.
I bet the right trigger is shoot.
Yes. Left trigger is...
grenade.
No, actually...
Switch weapon.
B is grenade.
Yeah, switch weapon.
Left trigger is to take cover, so it automatically pull you round, and then it's a little bit kind of like Gears of War, where if you pull the trigger, you'll shoot round the corner, and it's quite hard to hit anything. Can you just spray this big spray of bullets? But it's very useful if you're grabbing somebody literally coming around the corner. Then if you pull the analog stick to the left or the right, you will swing round, take a few shots, and then you can come back again. Shoulder buttons, you've got. Left shoulder button is for sprinting, and right shoulder button is for the goggles to either go on heat vision or
goggles,
light vision.
Goggles, eh? Mm. You know they spent $100 million on a pair of letters.
Y is to change to your secondary gun that's slung over your back. X is to reload. Now, if you hold X down, it gives you a menu option that you can flick with a D-pad to change rate of fire or put a silencer on or activate a laser sight if it's attached to your gun.
I like Crisis. I can customize my gun.
If you hold down Y, it allows you to pick the gun without having to swap, or pick your sidearm, which would be your pistol, and you can also change what grenades you want to throw, which is quite cool. You can customize all the weapons, and very much like Call of Duty 4, you actually unlock the weapons and you unlock clothing and camo as you go through, so you can customize your character.
Unlock.
All of these
this
features.
This is the US military here. Wait a minute, you're not good enough to have this gun yet. You have to unlock it. Perform this mission and you can unlock it.
It's
you can just
pretty
imagine
the same
a corporal
as
saying that to all his people under him.
It's very similar to Vegas. It's just Vegas plus more, really. But I haven't played Vegas. The good thing about it is if you haven't played Vegas, you can play this without having to think, oh my god, I haven't played the first game, because really the first game is going along the side. So I just went for the first one. For this one. Instead of the first one. Single player is quite good. Good storyline to go through.
Dude, don't mess with Elmo. He knows where you live.
I found it a bit weird, actually, for the fact that you...
you found Elmo, where you?
Hell, Elmo is weird.
It's this red dude with like big eyes.
I just find it weird for the whole the whole storyline actually follows all the way through the game, where I'm used to playing the old Rainbow Sixes, where... each level was just a different terrorist attack, and it was hostage. It wasn't really terrorist attack, it was just hostage situations. So each level was a different hostage situation, and once you dealt with that, it was a completely different hostage situation, where this one is actually following a storyline. So a bit weird for me, but still pretty cool. Multiplayer, you've got versus
multiplayer,
so
multi.
You can go online or
multi entertainment player
or system link, and then you've got
LAM, dude, local area network.
Terrorist hunt, which can be played single player, split screen, or co-op, and single player can be played as co-op as well.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So, are you ready to give this game a review score? / Cover of GameCast 2008.
Yeah, I must.
Terms and conditions apply.
There was a few things I didn't like. There was a few bugs that I bumped into. One of them was during co-op
what happens is you spawn and then your buddy spawns next to you, and it's like, oh my god, that guy's model's wrong, it's a pink elephant, oh my god. Oh no way.
Well, you were close, so he does spawn next to you, which is kind of annoying, because if you die, you do have to remember not to go out to firefight, because if you're ducking around a corner and some guy's shooting at you, if you're not paying attention to the split screen where the counter hits zero, all of a sudden your mate spawns right next to you in complete open and gets headshot and dies again. So your mate can just keep your friend dying constantly, because if you stand next to open fire and you hide around the corner, he respawns in open cover. So you have to back off and let him respawn and then come back in again. But I did find that I lost the ability to control the AI team, because you gain two players that are AI. I lost the ability to control them, and they just kind of
followed
me.
Basically what happened was, they realised that you're an incompetent military commander, and suggested you move into other lines of work.
Shoe salesman.
Yeah. Or helicopter salesman. It doesn't matter.
Anti-terrorist and hostage situations are perfect for being a shoe salesman. Got the same sort of qualifications, I hear. But yeah, one thing that's quite nice is about the whole customizing your character and changing how it looks, and the rest of the team will follow. So if you pick a different camo,
my foot really hurts.
Everyone else is matching up. But yeah, game wise, it's nice to actually play a game where you know it doesn't take much to get killed, sort of thing. Very classic. I like it.
Get it out quick before this new ideas from our pop psychologist come out.
I would definitely give it. Out of what? Out of 5?
No, out of 100.
I'd have to give it a 4 out of 5. I can tell when it's a game's a 4 out of 5 is when I play it. Sarah goes, it must be a good game. I go, why? I said, you haven't got off it yet and you keep putting the damn thing on it. If it's just a normal game, I'll play it when it's my time to play video games, I can get on it. But like when I played Assassin's Creed...
He has allocated times.
When I played Assassin's Creed... She didn't get a look in. I was on the Xbox. As soon as I came home, I put it back in and I carried on playing until
she
got home.
Then you got told off.
And then I'll play.
Have you been playing that game again?
And she, yes. And you could tell that she knows it's a good game because she starts asking, are you near the end yet? Have you completed it yet? Because she knows as soon as I've completed it, I'll lose all interest. I won't play it anymore.
So 4 out of 5 for Rainbow Six Vegas 2. I think that's a pretty fair...
Yeah.
It's generally getting quite good reviews. Multiplayer is also seemingly quite popular as well.
The good thing about it is this whole aspect of being able to earn your weapons. It's not like they're all there for you to play.
I'm a military guy. You have to do that mission before we let you near this gun.
So as you go
up, you have to complete these tasks, get these checklists, pick up my shopping list from my wife, pick up these goods from the store on your way, and bring me back some beer and supplies for tonight. Congratulations, you have unlocked the ability to use the Abrams T blah 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 whatever tank.
The cool thing I do like about it, unlike Call of Duty,
congratulations,
Call of Duty 4, as you went up in rank, you unlock weapons. You don't actually unlock weapons in rank in Rainbow. All you unlock is more camo and you unlock different
armor. Camo? What does that mean?
You all of the clothing and the body armor, elbow pads, the helmets.
What bother with that? Just get a tank.
Those you can change the color of. So you get different camos to change the color of and different body armor.
Eat this, you terrorist.
Those you unlock as you go up through levels. The weaponry.
I'll teach you for breaking into my casino.
The weaponry you unlock from experience of achievements. So you've got marksmanship.
Hey, Kinnendals and Marksman.
CQB.
And he's from Darnassus.
Darnassus.
And
don't say Darnassus.
Assault. And it's
don't insult my capital.
It's got a list of things that you would have to do to receive it, and you get.
See, a list, like I said, a list of things. Pick up the shopping list. Do this, get this from the store.
So, like, Marksman is like doing long distance headshots and stuff like that, and then you rank up all these points, and as you level up.
So, what do you get if you do close range headshots
CQB. So you'd get points for CQB. So the last thing I unlocked in CQB was a P90.
Bang bang. P90? What's that?
You ever seen Stargate?
You know what a P60 is, yeah?
No.
Well, the P90 is the next version up.
What about my P45?
That's even lower down.
It's a rifle that was designed to work similar grip to close quarters with a handgun. The standard handgun procedures.
So number it's a short rifle.
You know, like when you hold a handgun, you see them do this, and they go in like
that. No, it's bang bang bang.
Well,
bang 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 bang.
The P90 takes up the shape of all the space in here. All of the rifles in there, and it doesn't go any further than there. So the rifle only stops about there.
No, what you need is a really long rifle. See that long. Then with a bayonet on the end. That's brilliant for close quarter combat. Oh no.
Good thing about
I'm
it,
dead.
It's 50 rounds per magazine, so.
Oh, whoopee.
So you've got
my chain gun is 1,000 rounds per big long chain. Right,
do you get a discount on that?
Yes, 30%.
Sweet.
If I buy epic ammunition, it's quite expensive to fire.
Yeah, I imagine.
This gun costs over 1,000,000 dollars a second to fire. Yeah, let's talk about Warhammer Online, shall we?
Yep, Warhammer Online.
Then before we do World of Warcraft, I'm going to talk about something.
Warhammer Online has been announced that it's being delayed. I don't know for what reasons. but technical reasons, it's been delayed a little bit later this year. But they've also announced that they're going to be releasing a limited edition version of the game, like WoW has done before, where it will be...
Many games are doing limited edition, even if it's just a stupid little limited edition.
Yeah.
Like this an extra booklet.
This is coming with these...
Limited edition. This one comes with a manual.
Mouse mats, art book, and some other things. And it does come with a...
with a free baby Murloc.
Warhammer figure and stuff. So,
my Murloc impression isn't really good.
See, that's the cool thing is you guys haven't seen my Murloc dance.
I have.
You've seen him dance now when he puts the top
maybe
hat on.
Maybe not yours, but I've seen the guy who's got one next to him in Ironforge dance.
Yeah.
Pack it in.
I like my Murloc dancing.
Hooligan.
I want to find out how to actually make him dance on cue. Or if it's just the fact I'm going to make him stand there for God knows how long.
Well, my cat yawns and stretches. You don't see me bragging. I'll do an impression, shall I?
It rubs itself up your leg.
No, it doesn't do that because the animation would be wrong and a cat would just sort of walk through my leg.
Oh, you're on about your World of Warcraft cat. I thought you were on about your real one.
Real one? Piss off. It was in here last night. I went downstairs and it charged in through the door as I opened. It's like, no, I'm going to spend the next 2 hours trying to get out of here. Because otherwise it would wake me up at 5 o'clock in the morning. Scratch, scratch,
Yeah, my cat always used to want to sleep in my bedroom, but I always want the door shut so it won't be able to get back out again. It has come in when I've been drunk and I've come in and I don't shut the door behind me and I wake up and I can feel this pressure on my back and I'm laying in the pillow and the cat is right between my shoulder blades fast asleep and kind of, get the hell off. But, no, cats are great. Pets on Warhammer, very cool. Right, so...
Pets on Warhammer?
Not Warhammer, World of Warcraft.
We're talking about Warhammer.
Warhammer, yep. So it's
delayed this year, apparently. Yeah.
Later this year. I wouldn't even be surprised that Wrath of the Lich King will get out before it.
Well, I'm sure the people at Blizzard are consciously aware that they would be.
Because when's Wrath of the Lich King out? It's supposed to be summer, isn't it?
Or is it? No, it's actually going to be later than that now. It's latest I heard was for September.
Well, has Blizzard actually set a date, or have they just said this year?
They haven't set an actual date.
No,
well, there you go. The summer thing was probably just rumoured, wasn't it?
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised it won't go official until it's really close to being done because of the fact the large content and the fact that once they've got it, they've got to produce it into a CD and stuff. Because I know there are lots.
And the fact they need to patch everybody before the content, like the level 70 armor and all that.
Yeah, everything's got to be downloaded.
All that will have to be sent down to everyone.
The latest patch that came out for WoW was.
Did that have a lot of the content already in it?
I think it's the last big patch before the expansion. Because I haven't heard anything of any new instances or any new...
Well, they might not do that for this patch. You know, I'd imagine they would release quite a big patch prior to it being launched.
Mm.
Even though it doesn't have any new races, it does have new armour and they need to send down all the models sorted out for everybody.
Yeah.
And so on and so on.
See, I'd like it if they could actually bring across... goblins to play as a playable character, kind of like the Horde's version of a gnome.
Yeah, but goblins aren't really in the Horde, are they? So
goblins are a neutral faction.
Yeah, they just work for the Horde more than anything
else. And they work for the Alliance. They work for anyone with money
as well.
Yeah, they'll just work for anybody.
What I would like to see
Well, that'd be quite cool. It'd be like a neutral faction.
Hey, dude,
you'd just be...
Dude, don't interrupt. What I would like to see happen... What did I tell you about not interrupting? Is... The Night Elves and the Tauren should form their own faction. Because the Night Elves and the Taurens have a common respect and understanding.
Yeah, because it's the Druids.
Well, there should be, is in the latest dungeons.
But unfortunately, it seems the Taurens have pledged their lives to the Horde.
But the storylines, as it evolves, tends to bind the Horde and Alliance together.
To fight the Burning Legion, to fight the Lich King, to fight this. But they're still fighting each other in rooms.
Exactly, so why can't players actually team up with, like, Alliance players team up with Horde players as well to do instances and raids?
I would really, really love to see that because one of my biggest criticisms of WoW was the two separate worlds thing where you can't talk to anybody or, you know...
Yeah.
Is that look cool?
It would be nice if they could actually have.
It would be nice if we could boost our Horde players who are dungeon.
Where you could get your character to learn Orc language.
I was just about to say, if they have something where you could actually like have an instant or a dungeon that's in the orc area where if you're good enough to fight your way to there,
no problem.
And you go in, you complete it, and you get a book. You have to get these books that you learn, and then eventually,
what you have to do is you have to charge through
all of them. You can
and
click
listen to people.
Because they have reputation for each faction, so why don't they start setting up quests where your character can actually
get reputation,
increase reputation with the enemy factions, so that you can actually become
friend
to the horde or
you
the
can
alliance.
You can jump side.
Yeah.
You can be a traitor.
That'd be good, but it'd be really complicated to do, and a lot of people would probably really moan about it.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Saying, oh, this further dilutes the PvP aspect of the game.
But then
which is true, but then you could kill humans
who are defected. If you look at your list, as you do other things, you do lose your one of that. And you can click on, I'm at war with these people, which means that if you go anywhere near them, you will fight what would normally be NPCs that would ignore you. Now they would be at war with you. So if you had it so that if you joined and you got enough...
I am at war with many factions.
You get so much up, just as you go over it, it says, right, you have been affiliated with the orcs.
Mm.
It means that
please pay
all
your
of the
affiliations
with
fee.
Any of the horde will be zero, but you can gain them now. And all affiliations with the alliance, basically, they outcast you. And if you go anywhere near Stormwind or anything like that, NPCs will just jump on you and kill you on the spot. So basically, you jump side. So if you wanted to, you
look,
could.
Dude, I know enemy guards kill you on the spot really quickly. I didn't die, okay? We slaughtered an entire village. Every guard was dead. Every NPC was dead. Every horde player which came near us was dead.
Have you gone to...
Nobody touches the Rise of the Dragonstar Guild when we are out on the hunt.
Have you gone to
okay?
a proper city and actually gone right inside?
Yes.
I want to see that.
Fine, we will do it later on.
Much later.
We will run into Orgrimmar and run out really quickly.
Can we do that after we're all dead knights?
Yeah. Level 80 dead knights.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would make it a bit easier, wouldn't it?
In 2 years.
Right, okay. Wrath of the Lich King.
Hang on, I want to talk about something else first.
Okay, go for it.
Okay, people who read my blog have seen a couple of entries lately. This is actually one of the things I wanted to talk about last week, but I didn't have time to do it. Basically, it is... Ooh, there's Monkey Man. Where did I do that blog post? Technology. Oh, yeah. Apple's false advertising. I didn't talk about this last week, did I?
Yeah.
I did.
Is this the stuff to do with the...
Oh, no, this isn't about update. No, this is more crap from Apple.
Okay.
So, you know they've been running all these adverts for their stupid laptop.
Oh, yeah, the thin piece of crap.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
In the adverts it says the world's thinnest laptop. Or notebook, I can't remember.
Notebook.
Yeah, Steve Jobs announced laptop when he announced them. Whatever. So, yeah, I took it upon myself to find thinner laptops. One which a lot of people pointed to was the Sony Vaio X505, which was released in 2004. But that is actually a teeny, teeny little bit thicker. It's about just over 1 millimeter thicker. So it's not a lot. But there's a laptop called the Pedion, which was built by Mitsubishi and Hewlett-Packard, which was released in 1999, I believe. And that is 18.4 millimeters thick, which is 1 millimeter thinner than the MacBook Air. Sharp, however, also beat that out by a laptop called the Actis whatever, so I can't pronounce it. That's the trouble with their marketing department. Think of names people can know how to pronounce. PC MM10, which was 13.7 millimeters thick. So that's like 5 millimeters thinner.
Are all these laptops like 13-inch monitor screens?
They vary. Some of them are like 12 to 14. I mean, the old brick, you know, Pentium was one of those really early things. But it was like, it was really high-end. It was really expensive. So yeah, that is absolute false advertising, and I expect to see Apple banned from the European Union for that sort of thing. And also, Wednesday, Thursday and Friday, there's been a hacker contest. I'm going to say hacker simply so people know what I talk about, even though the proper word is cracker. They had a MacBook, whatever, I don't know what the model was, but it was running macOS 10.5, which is Leopard.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And they had a machine running Windows Vista SP1 and a machine running Ubuntu 7.10, or what the newest version is. The first day on that contest, you could only attack the machines from on the network. So you couldn't like run the thing on the local machine to take it over. On the first day, all three machines survived. On the second day, what they did is they allowed you to open a web page or like an email on a computer to try and get your hack working. The Mac OS was hacked inside of 2 minutes. The other machines weren't hacked at all.
Mm-hmm.
On the third day, to finish contest off, they allowed third-party applications to be installed. And in that case, Adobe Flash was hacked and compromised on other machines. So yeah, next time you see, as I quite rightly point out here, although that is actually a lot more polite than what I'm going to say now. So anyway, the next time some smug Apple fanboy comes up to you and goes on about security, politely remind them that they are full of it. And I also go on to say, and also consider reporting Apple to the advertising regulators over their utterly misleading and downright false adverts. But I'm also going to add one extra point. Push that smug Apple bastard down a flight of stairs. Which I'm not going to put up in writing. I'll just record it on this podcast. Anyway, so yeah, Apple are a bunch of not nice people.
Later this year, I'm buying an Apple MacBook Pro.
No, you ain't. I'll tell you what you're going to buy. You're going to buy the really lush 20-inch screen Uber Media laptop from Hewlett Packard. Right, now we will let Chris talk about his stupid expansion pack for his stupid game called World of Noobcraft.
That you love playing.
Shut up. Don't contradict your elders. Oh, wait, you're older than me.
Yeah,
but we're not going
to. Don't contradict your youngest.
We're not talking about Wrath of the Lich King.
Oh, what are we talking about?
The new.
that computer's just going to sleep. Patches. Don't you wake it up right after it turns off.
The 2.4 patch that came out earlier this
week. Oh, we're talking about the 2.4 patch first, are we?
Yeah, that I had to download last night. It crashed my computer.
Oh, did it?
It crashed.
Well, it did crash my computer. I started trying to download it, and I was like,
good job you don't have that Mac. You get hacked inside of 2 minutes.
I was downloading it. I was thinking,
2 minutes?
Right, I don't want to start downloading.
They gave up on the Vista machine after 30 minutes and spent the rest of the time on the Linux box.
I thought, well, let's play Dawn of War. I haven't played my new copy of Dawn of War, so I powered that up. And Dawn of War and the download Blizzard downloader, just my computer couldn't hack it and decided to freeze, so I had to crash it.
I very much doubt your computer froze. It was probably just busy and you didn't wait to give it time.
I went and played Rainbow. That's how long I gave it. I came it back and it was still doing it, so I just cancelled.
It's Windows XP, if you mean. All these machines around here run Windows Vista.
I know. I could go back.
Back to what? Windows 95. Have Vista. Fun with that. Every application crash brings down the machine.
I could go back to Vista.
Oh, but what about your 3D Studio, whatever it was?
Yeah.
When was the last time you actually used that?
Last week.
Okay, I'll let you off.
I'm building a character at the moment.
I'll let you off.
But anyway.
Yeah, we'll shut now.
New 2.4 patch.
Yeah, so World of Warcraft people would have noticed on Wednesday that the new patch was rolled out onto the servers.
The guy with fire on his shoulders.
Me, on the other hand, I'm
wise
enough.
I want armor that does that. I want armor that gives fire. Cook some sausages.
Oh, like I have.
Dude, don't interrupt, okay?
Okay.
Not polite. I was sensible enough to download the patch beforehand, so I only had minimal interruption. However, unfortunately, when I started WoW back up the next day after I downloaded it, when all the servers were patched, it said I had to download another
70%.
17? 70.
No, I only had to download 5%.
Did you get the just changing the subject quickly before we carry on this, did you get the message sent to your Xbox Live account that Xbox Live will be shut down over April?
The whole of April?
No, for a part of April, for I think it's a couple of days or a week.
They usually bring it down for 24 or 48 hours.
Yeah. Doesn't bother me because I'm going to be in Canada.
Doesn't bother me because I'm
Well, it doesn't bother me because I don't even have Xbox Live. But there you go.
Right.
Continue. You do. Anyway. You've got an Xbox Live account.
Yeah, alright. Well, I never use it. Right. Patch 2.4.
Talk to the microphone, please, not to the wall.
Yeah, I was trying to, but I had to look at my notes. The biggest changes: a new map, the Isle of Quel Danas.
Ooh.
I've been there once.
I have yet to be there.
Yes, you have to be level 70 to get to it.
Where is that to?
That's
the north of Old Land.
The north of
the Old Continent.
Yes. Right above the Elven lands.
Oh, right above that island.
Yeah. So there's an island there called the Isle of Quel Danas, and the mobs there start at level 71. There's level 71 and 72 mobs. There's a load of new quests, level 70 characters to do there. There's a load of daily quests that you can do. That's why the amount of daily quests that you can do a day has been raised from 10 to 25.
Yeah. Daily quests are good.
A load of daily quests have been added all over the
world.
Yes. Not just in the new map, but also in Outland. There's new PvP quests.
Yep.
Explain daily quests, because obviously I haven't gone into those.
For example, you have a daily... Like, some territories in the world have towers which you can capture.
Basically...
A daily quest, for example, could be a quest where every day you go and do that quest and pick up all the
basically
towers.
A daily quest, you can do it, complete it, hand it in, and you can't do it again until the next day.
Right,
but
okay.
It's a quest that you can actually do every day of the year if you wanted to.
Okay,
but
so
once a day.
The idea of the quest is something that you could just repeat. It's not like going, can you kill this guy and bring me back his necklace?
No, it's capture
like,
these towers.
Yeah, collect
or
this wood.
Kill
or,
the horde.
But a lot of those quests are PvP based.
Yeah.
So that basically the Alliance has that quest to capture a point, and the Horde will have the same quest to recapture that point.
And then you have to fight over
it.
And the trouble is, because the Alliance is so much more superior than the Horde, we have to wait ages for the towers to fall into Horde hands for us to capture them. Because we own them all the time.
So that's it. There's a new area for level 70 characters to go into. Within that area, there's a 5-man instance, which has the heroic option as well.
For extra goodness.
And there is also a 25-man raid, which includes the tier 6 raid, epic braces and boots, which didn't exist before that patch.
Which I want.
Which will probably be very hard to get, as you probably have to be fully tier 5 or 6 geared before you can even go there.
Yeah, I already am, dude.
I haven't heard of anyone of on our server to complete that raid yet.
Cool.
Yeah, but you're talking about Dinnendal here, the guy who has yet to be defeated. Every single raid I have done, I have been successful.
So as well as that, there's also...
Every single dungeon I have done, I have been successful.
This new island, is this to do with the Blood Elves?
The storyline behind it
is basically the explorers and the map people forgot there was an island there, and now they've just found it again.
It's to do with that fire thing. That
it's not just the Blood Elves, it's mainly the Scryers, which is a faction in Shattered City, which is also linked with the Aldor,
mm-hmm.
who actually are linked to the Nauru.
The Nauru have not forgotten us.
That's right. And
well, no, he stood right there.
They try and protect the world from the Burning Legion. Which is
Legionnaires' disease.
A load of demons and
they
demonic
don't
forces
mess
from
with the Burning
world.
Legion.
And that new island of
Quel'Danas. I remember defeating them in Warcraft
3. The 25-man raid, the last boss is actually one of the Demon Lord called Kil Jaeden. And he's...
I think we need to kill McFerridon.
He's one of the main demons that summons the Legion onto Azeroth, and the Scryers and the Aldor some of the protectors of Azeroth against.
Have you seen the video for it?
No.
Yes, I have seen the video for it, and you can see it on the Blizzard official website.
It's very cool. I watched that. That's what I meant with the whole Blood Elves, because you just showed loads of Blood Elves and they were all doing that power thing to try and get the sun power or whatever it was called, and they lost it in a twist between
Blood Elves.
If the
Blood Elves had any loyalty, they would join the Alliance.
Well, they were there to make more people join the Horde, because
the Blood Elves used to be the High Elves, who were actually
which you could play
part of the Alliance.
Which you can play as in
back in
Warcraft
beginning of Warcraft 3.
Yeah,
there was
one or two that you could play as, I remember.
Yeah, in Warcraft 2 they were...
I think you played as... There was one of them that you played as humans, not as the elves. I think there was like a mage, high elf, or something like that. There was
an elf that you could play as in Warcraft 3, who is now the one of the leaders of Undercity. Can't remember her name now. Who's the Undercity leader? That woman.
Proudmoore?
No,
that was a human.
She's still in Theramore Island.
Oh yeah, she got demoted. She's not allowed to lead a big city. Don't know.
But that's the thing, you know, the you know.
Well, why are the Blood Elves not in the Alliance? Why did they join the Horde?
Well, because they felt betrayed.
Oh, whatever. Just fucking invade their lands and kill them all.
They want revenge.
Now you would feel betrayed when you're all dead.
They wanted to have someone who was elegant to play on the Horde, so you didn't end up having to play some cow or some weird bent
or a flippin' ugly looking troll.
A Jamaican bent over troll or an orc.
Yes, that is probably
or a humpback orc.
As for Wrath of the Lich King,
it's not easy being green.
There's already a bunch of instances and stuff that
I'm not that kind of orc.
Officially set to be out for the Wrath of the Lich King.
Right, so why did they feel betrayed? Give me the backstory. Come on, I'm sure
Blood Elves.
Yeah, I'm sure all our listeners are very curious, because I know I am.
Right, well, if you played Warcraft 3,
yeah, I played Warcraft 3.
That
it was like 10 years ago.
Arthas,
that cool dude with the blonde hair who's really nice and everybody likes him.
Yes. When he was turning into a dead knight or a death knight.
Don't say that about our Prince Arthas.
Yes,
he's a nice lad.
At the same time being followed by a lich called... I can't remember his name.
Nubafon.
No.
What was the clown from McDonald's?
Ronald
McDonald.
Right, anyway, there was a dead lich.
He was being... King Prince Arthur was being followed around by a king from McDonald's, and that was made him turn evil.
Wouldn't you turn evil if you had that bloody clown following you all day?
No, because a Burger King guy would ride up with a shotgun and blow him away.
Yeah,
with
a stupid mask on, the god awful grin.
Right, he was going there to revive
death
his buddy.
Those two. Sorry.
Yeah, to revive his buddy. And the only way to do so was to go into Elfland and grab what he needed to do so. Yes, that sums it up.
Cool.
In the process, all the elves were killed. And the survivors, who were leaderless, and also everything else, lost.
What are you looking for now? Burger King drives by shoots me. Okay, that's just the same thing being shown over and over again.
Yeah, that's just silly.
Die, you noob. But what were you saying?
I was saying that WoW rules.
Yep, are we going to play WoW later on?
Well, hopefully if Amelin is up for it, we'll do another dungeon.
Good. Let's do another dungeon. Are you coming along, Brindley?
We could do the Mana Tombs again.
Yeah, with Brindley.
I would just stand there.
No,
you would just stand there and then you would die.
Yeah.
Because one hit and you're dead.
Yeah. I'm alright.
Even
I,
the mighty Dinadal is challenged in the Mana Tombs.
I
do the next dungeon after the Orcanai Crypts.
I've got my
own. We need to find some level 70s to do with them.
I've got my own little mission to get on with to try and level up, so I'm going to follow that pro book that I've got to see if I can
You got the Pro Book?
It's a thing I downloaded. It's written by a pro gamer.
Yeah, and it's like speed leveling.
Yeah, but using quests only, no grinding.
Yeah.
So it's choice picked quests that you can do one after the other, but it's the order to do them in. And you go along and it'll be like, pick these quests up. You don't do them, you just pick them up, and then you go pick these quests up, and then you mark a home point here with your Heathstone, and then travel over to here, make sure you go there. While you're there, go over to this point and just get this travel point. Then you go back, complete these quests, and on your way back, you'll bump into this area that will get some shells for this quest. You go all the way back here, drop off all the quests, and because you went all the way over there, you also got this flight path, so you fly over to there, and then you do the same again, and it's being able to not spend half your time travelling to do a quest.
It's optimising the quests you've got so that they can be done in the least amount of time.
So is it any good?
It is quite good, and it actually, he says, right, go hand in your quests now and level up your powers that you've got from getting to that next level. If you're just about getting to level 33, north of where you are, there should be some stuff. Go grind there until you level up. Normally it is because you're just a few points away from leveling up, and and some of them they'll say, right, don't go any further until you hit level 40. If you haven't hit level 40, don't continue on, wait until you've got there, do a bit of grinding, come back, and then carry on, because if you get out of sync, it becomes too hard, and you're not getting the right experience, and you'll just die too many times. So it's a good way of keeping the flow of doing the quests in the right order, in the right places. Yeah. It's all done on Kalimor, it's not done on the Azoth Island, so... what they've done is they've only bothered to do up to, I think it's level 12. Well, no, level 14 for each race in starting area. So it's all the quests for starting area up to level 14, and then you've got to travel to one point, and then it's all the same for every race all the way through. So at the moment, I've got as far as the Salt Plains. So I'm doing the quests in Salt Plains and through the Needles, and I've had to do
at
one.
At level 34?
Yeah.
So you're like 10 levels above what you should be then?
Well, I've kind of levelled up a bit from playing with you guys in the dungeons, what I was trying to do. So I've caught back up and I'm trying to follow. I should be on about 4 more pages somewhere else, but I just want to finish these quests because I've spent ages collecting all this stuff and I want to at least complete them. So because I'm too high, I'm going to follow the quests really quickly, get all the experience, do them even faster because I'm too high, and then match it up to where I've got to and carry on. But it's quite good because you level up quite quick.
It's a downloadable thing.
I can bring a copy of the file over next time I come over. Okay. Or I'll email it to Paul. It is quite good.
Is that 160 or 170?
Well, I would like 60 to 70, especially at the moment when I'm 65.
It's level
70. You can buy those guys on eBay.
It's one to 60, and then
I can look at all the quest lists on Vopbot and work out all the stuff I need to get by myself.
Well, that'll take you quite a while to work it out.
But I'm better than paying money.
It's dual. You can do it up to 60, but it's also got it for the people who got Burning Crusade to carry on up to 70. But it goes so far and then says, right, you just need to do all this and it'll take you a while and you'll eventually get there. But
just do 20 dungeons.
Do this dungeon 20 times.
Here's Paul Smith's guide to leveling up really fast in WoW. Keep doing dungeons.
That was $10.99.
Please play on PayPal and be generous.
You're level 15, do the dead mines. You're level 15, do the dead mines. You're level 16, do the dead mines.
Keep doing that until you're level
21. Keep doing that until you're about level 21.
Then you do the stockades till you're level 25. Then you do that one till... And then you'll be level 70.
And by then you'll be insane. And you've done like the whole game without doing any quests over level 14.
Well, apart from the dungeon quest.
Nah, and not unless they're easy to get to. Otherwise I'll have to explain where to go to get
them. I'm off.
Off where?
Toilet break.
Ah, another toilet break.
Great, we've really wanted to let us all beer each drink.
Well, yeah.
Wrath of the Lich King, looking good.
Hang on, we're talking about Wrath of the Lich King, now he pisses off.
I said everything. Well, you keep interrupting.
We haven't spoken about Wrath of the Lich King.
You keep interrupting me. How am I supposed to talk about Wrath of the Lich King if I keep getting interrupted?
Okay, well, whatever. What is Wrath of the Lich King?
Wrath of the Lich King is the new expansion from Blizzard and Steam.
I know that.
On World of
War. I know that.
And it will be coming out later this
year. I know that. Tell me something I don't know.
You probably don't know that Wrath of the Lich King will
Can
have...
you speak faster? Adam needs to go. Faster. Come on, dude.
It will have a new continent in the north.
Yep, new continent, we know that. What else?
One of the map will be dedicated to PvP only.
Did we know that before?
No, I didn't know that.
No, we didn't. So one of the areas in the northern continent will be dedicated to just PvPing. So as soon as you enter that map, your PvP will be turned on automatically. There will be daily quests, normal quests, and dungeons within that map.
PvP dungeons?
There will be dungeons within that map, but the actual map, the whole map, will be dedicated
to
PvP.
Yeah, your quest is stop any alliance players from entering the dungeon.
I do like that, and I must admit, that'd be quite cool to have replicated some other areas to kind of say, right, maybe this area in Azeroth PvP, so you could actually go move to an area and it is PvP. For the people who are not on, obviously people who are on PvP servers, it's kind of like, well, what good is that to me?
Yeah. If you've noticed, there's still some areas in Azeroth that you don't know what they are.
Mm.
If you put your cursor over the map in Azeroth, there are still some areas that you can't go to.
Yeah, there are the segregated areas on the map that do not highlight, and you cannot zoom
yeah.
in to look at the areas.
Yeah.
One thing I want to know, which you probably won't know the answer to, but it's something I want to know from Blizzard. If you go to
Blizzard, I hope you're listening.
North of Ironforge, on the other side of the mountain, and you go
Manithor Harbour.
Yeah. When you fly there, you go over an airport.
Fly point, yeah.
And it does look like you've got access points coming out for different things. There does look like a Griffin Master at the end. And as you go down, if you rotate the camera around and look for where you're coming, you can see all these pathways and entrances and stuff coming down the mountainside as you're coming into the swampland. But I cannot find a way up there. And I've even put it in on the forums. How do you get to the airport? And some guy said, actually,
don't call it an airport.
You know what I mean? I said, seen the runway strip, how do you get there? And loads of people put it on my message and said that you need to go all the way around to the far corner to one of these entrance points. And if you're the right type of person with the right mount, you can actually jump onto the rock and then climb over and you can actually walk up there yourself. But if you get caught, you get in trouble. And he said not to do it because it's an out of bounds area.
It was an area that was not designed for players to go to. You get areas that are just there for...
eye candy.
For the... Yeah, that's it. I mean, there's other flight...
Like all of Orgrimmar.
The whole of Azeroth was not designed for having a flying mount. They were designed for fly points.
Yeah.
So if you go from one place to another using a fly point, they will go a certain path, which is not necessarily the quickest.
Mm.
But is the
it's
scenic,
the scenic route where they've done the That's work it. To fill in all the
yeah.
gaps between the zones.
So these places that you can't access that seem to have, you know, bits that you should be
able to go fight
able
and
to
kill
go to
and collect
are
and
just
stuff.
There for visual effects and scenic views.
Mm.
So, and that's not the only example. I mean, there's another bit. I think it's with the Blasted Lands. You know, when you fly over and there's a dragon being attacked by gnomes.
Yes, I've seen
yeah,
that bit, yeah.
There's that bit as well. And
when
you can never
storm,
get there.
Stormwind to Ironforge
yeah.
route.
Same with Elwynn Forest, when yeah. you're going up to the bit with Northshire Abbey bit.
Yeah, where you go
up
past that
there.
Waterfall and stuff like that. There's loads of bits around there and you can't get up that
Yeah, there's
bit.
Places you can't get to, but it's just the scenic routes on the fly points.
Yeah.
So I hope that answers your question.
It does answer my question. A lot better than they did on the forums. But yeah, I know what you mean. When you go on the map, you can look at
look,
the segregated.
All I'm interested in is finding those humans who have been desecrating my moon well in Stormwind.
Oh, and
when I
thing,
catch them, I'm going to kill them.
Another thing, a couple of weeks ago, I think we mentioned something about the flying mounts being used in Wrath of the Lich King. And I've recently found out that flying mounts will be able to be used in Wrath of the Lich King, but you won't be able to use them until you're level 78.
Right.
And the reason for that is they don't want people to go
fly around and go everywhere.
Yeah, to go straight in there from level 70 and just fly around the whole map and discover everything. So maybe you're going to have to do a series of quests to be able to use your flying mount in Wrath of the Lich King.
You need a license. You need to go speak to King Arthur.
Well, maybe it's just
is.
A matter of leveling up to level 78.
Yeah.
Hey, I need a license
to be able
to
fly around.
Flying dragon.
But
on the sense of getting the right experience to get to level 78, you most likely would need to do all of the Lich King expansion just to get to that wave. You just did Burning Crusade again and again, you'd be on it for probably a very long time.
Well, yeah, because once you get a few levels above it, you won't get any experience.
Yeah, so I imagine you're right on that aspect. You've got to complete all of that. When you've done it, you've got the right of having the flying mount.
So flying mounts will be usable in Wrath of Lich King, but you will have to reach a certain level to do so.
Would be quite cool if they did it so that you get to that cap level, they'll turn around and say, right, level 80, you can use a flying mount in the whole of Azeroth, and you can just fly around everywhere, and that's kind of like your goal for getting to near the end, sort of thing.
Yeah, but they wouldn't, because Azeroth was not designed for flying mounts. There are areas where there's like nothing in it.
Yeah.
Which is why they should get to work and fill in all that stuff.
Well, like I've seen the point, have it so that you could...
It's like those areas that are blanked out.
Yeah.
In Azeroth, where there's... You know, on the map where you can't get to, you can't click on, it's because there's nothing in. And if you were able to fly, you'd be able to fly over the mountains that block access to that area, and it, you know, there's just nothingness in there for now.
Yeah.
So that's why they can't allow flying down to Azeroth for the moment. Maybe when they fill in all the gaps and the whole of Azeroth is filled with actual playable areas, maybe then they will allow it.
Yeah, when they finish adding
more. Or what they could just do is put up a giant invisible brush around all the zones. So then you wouldn't be able to fly over all these things.
But what would be quite cool is
if they had a giant invisible brush which we could brush people with,
like a dragon's nest or something like that in the mountains. So when you come to near areas you're not supposed to, you can fly your ass off to get away and they won't follow you so far, but if you did go for it they would just blow you out of the sky and you could never get past it, sort of thing. But it would be quite nice if they had it so that maybe you couldn't just land on Azeroth, you couldn't just land where you wanted to. You could fly around, but you just couldn't land anywhere. You'd have to go to the town and then land, and once you've landed you couldn't take off until you got back to a certain area, and then as a way of being able to have cheap flight. But
giant invisible brushes on areas you can't go to. Then you just try and fly into it and it's like walking into a wall. Mm. That would be acceptable. At least until they, you know, pay some people to...
Or mountain ranges that are just too high and it's out of your height range, you can't fly up. A bit like how they do it with the fact that they don't want you to go up to a certain area, so they just raise the incline to the point that you don't start going up anymore when you run. No matter how much you jump, you just cannot get up there. If they have it so that you can fly so high that your
mountain... Used to be an acrobat. He can jump up many places.
I'm sure he did. He's a man of many talents.
Yes.
He's the sort of guy that at home he has one of those cork boards above... onto the side of the kitchen wall that's got all of his name badges from every little job he's ever done.
Dylan Dow from McDonald's. Doesn't have a home, he's a travelling hunter.
From Darnassus.
Darnassus.
No, that's
don't
not
say
the,
Darn
Assus.
Darnassus.
That's not what the well man says.
I'm from Darnassus, I am. I'm a big
the
cider.
The well man can screw off because he's insulting the elves.
Right.
Put an ass in our character's name.
If you create an elf, yeah, from level 1, and start playing, you know they have the introduction bit where a guy tells you about your race and...
Oh yeah, when he does the panning camera pans round to your character
and
where he stood there.
If you start as an elf, they call the capital city Darnassus.
Yeah, I have had that a few times, because I've had druid characters. I do remember him saying that. That's a bit... Darn our asses for being elfish.
Mr. D here got a bit funny about it.
Don't call our city ass. Okay, you've been pissing in our moon wells. Now we have to tolerate this kind of crap.
Yes, and that's
maybe
what
that's
what we
maybe before the elves were there. The whole
the
place.
Elves have always been there because we grew that damn tree.
Before they were there.
Before that, we were on the mainland of Kalimdor.
Maybe they named it because they had donkeys there before.
I've never seen a donkey in Ashenvale or Darkshore.
I've never seen a donkey in WoW. Actually, is there any donkeys in WoW? We need to find them out.
They should have a flying mound.
A flying
donkey.
Yes.
Okay.
And he speaks like the donkey in Shrek.
Yeah.
Right, I think that's pretty much it for this week's episode.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure you want to get out of it.
Yeah, I want to go
and
out.
And I'm sure I want to play WoW.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I'm sure you want to go to McDonald's and get me some food.
Yeah, well.
I'll give you £2.
Yeah, alright.
Oh,
we'll see everybody next week. Are you back on Sunday?
Yeah.
Not
you.
Yes, I will be back.
So Sunday, yeah?
Yes, Sunday will be fine.
Okay, Sunday next week we'll be back. No more of Adam's late Monday business.
And from
for now.
The Sunday after the 16th of April until the Sunday, and I will be away, and I won't be back until Sunday after 2nd of May. So,
yeah. So what, you're in Canada?
Yeah.
Okay, so there'll be no GamerCast when Adam is in Canada.
No, I'm not doing it from Canada to here.
But we'll be back next week and the week after, because this won't affect us for another 2 or 3 weeks, will it?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. We will see everybody next week.
Catch you guys later.
When Adam will have even more reviews of his fun games.
Yeah. See you there.